the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Our first passage today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. And it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." Our second reading for today comes from Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. "Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains, because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats overflow with new wine and oil." I'm just going to pray for Nick before he comes to speak to us. Dear God, we thank you for all that you provide us, and pray that as Nick comes to talk to us, you'll speak your wisdom through him, and that our ears and hearts will be open to hear your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's lovely to be thinking about God's world together. So it's lovely to be able to meet. Today we're reminding ourselves, especially, aren't we, about God's creative power, his faithfulness to us as well. We thought about it a lot, haven't we, as we shared our time together, as we have shared our prayers as well. We've been thinking as well about God's faithfulness and his provision for harvest. Now, Jesus, in the verses that Hannah has just read to us from Matthew chapter 6, encouraged the people who are listening to take a closer look. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take a few minutes, and then we're going to share communion together. But as we consider, we're going to be thinking about looking. This is what Jesus had to say, those verses that we've read. "Look at the birds of the air, see how the flowers of the field grow." So Jesus says, open your eyes. So first of all, let's do this. Let's look around. Now, we've been reminded in our prayers that the world is a wonderful place. It's a great place to live in. There's so many different plants and animals and birds and fish. There's so many wonderful things to see, whether it's the sea or the mountains or the night sky, whatever it is. So many different colors and textures. So many different sizes. There is such a lot to see. Jesus says, look around. And what we see when we look around should help us to better understand God. God who is powerful and personal. Listen to these words. These words were written by the Apostle Paul. He was writing to some of his friends in Rome. And he said this: Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made. So if we look around, says Paul, we see something of God's power. But Jesus, in the verses that we have just had read to us, says something more. He talks about the fact that God's care is for even the smallest things in creation, such as birds and flowers. And if God cares for birds and flowers, then it's obvious, isn't it, that God cares for us. Jesus says, doesn't he, in that passage, that God feeds the birds of the air and he clothes the flowers of the field. God is at work. God is allowing life to flourish. God is working at thriving his creation. Now, of course, we may choose to explain many of those things in purely scientific terms, assuming evolutionary or biological reasons behind these processes. But as Christians, we believe ultimately that it is God who is behind the complexity of all that we see. God cares for our planet. He cares for our galaxy. He cares for our universe. He cares for every tiny detail in it. Birds, flowers, you and me. But there's much more, isn't there? Because the Bible tells us that there is something special about us as humans. There's something that marks us out as being special. But we need to be very, very careful with that truth. Because we are not so special such that it's okay to mistreat and spoil God's creation. So, we've looked around. Secondly, we need to look close. Now, it's true that my eyesight isn't anywhere near as good as it was when I was some of your ages. And because of that, I have to wear these. If you ever get into a car with me and we move away from the curb, make sure I am wearing these. Because I need these to see things that are far away. Road signs or other cars on the road. So it's important that I wear them. But if I want to see things that are close up, or you want to see things that are close up, then of course a magnifying glass would help, wouldn't it? And when we look closely at creation, when we look closely at the environment around us, we soon get to see that everything is not as perfect as we thought it might be. In our day-to-day lives, as we spend time with our family and friends, we know, don't we, that if we're selfish, if we're greedy, if we're uncaring, if we're unloving, if we're inconsiderate with what we say and what we do, then we cause hurt to others. Our friendships and our relationships will be damaged and harmed if those are the kinds of attitudes that we take on board. But it's not only our relationship with one another that we can harm. It's not only our relationship with God that we can damage if we adopt all of those kinds of attitudes. It's also possible to damage the very earth that we live on. Paul, again, when he writes further on in the same letter to his friends in Rome, he says that the whole of creation is groaning. And we have evidence for that, don't we? We see that everywhere we look. Creation is under pressure. Creation is under strain. We see oceans full of plastic, as we heard in the prayers just now. We see species that are driven to extinction. We know in some places, certainly in the world, that the air that we breathe is polluted and is causing us harm. We know that natural habitats for animals and for wildflowers are being destroyed. We know that our rivers are being polluted, and there are damaging changes too to our climate that will dramatically affect millions and millions of people across the globe. And the list goes on and on. And I think we can sum it up like this: selfish priorities lead to destructive living. And I actually think that we see a little bit of an echo of that kind of statement in what we've read from Matthew chapter 6. When we worry more about our own needs than about God's kingdom values, it's then that things go wrong. And it's what the Bible, of course, refers to as sin. So Jesus says this, so do not worry, saying, what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And being aware of our potential to harm God's planet and the need for us to tread lightly has been a focus for us here, of course, as a church community for many, many years, in fact. Our eco team have worked hard to think about how we can have that kind of agenda and that kind of impact that is for positive rather than negative. And over the last few months, the eco team have been considering how we should, as a church, just react to the impact of climate change. And there's going to be some proposals available for everybody to see and to read and to think seriously about as we move forward as a community. And changes to the climate across the globe are going to affect the production of all kinds of crops. There will be poverty in many places across the world, increased poverty. There'll be crops that won't yield as much as they did previously. There'll be people that go hungry. And as well as farming, we know that there'll be an impact upon fishing as well. Changing patterns of temperature in the sea, the salt content, the salinity, the way that the currents work and flow around the globe. All of these will impact upon fish stocks, such that there may not be so many fish. And those communities that rely so heavily upon fish as their staple diet will be affected. Now, it's always tempting, isn't it, with really, really big issues to think, well, you know what? I can't do anything about it. And not only that, by the looks of it, I don't think it's really going to affect me that much. You know, for us living in the Northern Hemisphere, we may well be amongst the countries that are least affected by immediate climate change and some of those other devastating environmental things that we've thought about. But if we do that, if we just choose to bury our heads in the sand, if we just ignore it, we ignore the issues, we do nothing about it, we do nothing to make change, how can we truthfully say we are seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness? We're going to return to that in a few moments as we join together and share communion. But before that, I want to look at the words that the second part of our reading from the prophecy of Joel. So we've looked around, we've looked close, and now let's look out. Now, I wonder if you've ever stood on the shoreline, you've looked right the way out to sea, and you can see that there are things out on the horizon, but you can't see them clearly. You don't really know what they are, but they're there within the haze. You know they're there, but you can't see them clearly. What you need, of course, is binoculars. That's what you need to have a closer look. Now, Joel was a prophet. He was one of God's lookouts. He got to see and understand with God's help more than other people were aware of. Now, it wasn't that he had a really fine pair of binoculars. It wasn't enhanced physical sight that he had, but he had a greater understanding of what was going on, both around him and what it meant for the people he lived amongst, and also for the future. He had glimpses of something that other people couldn't see. And Jesus invites us to look beyond ourselves. He invites us to see the world through his Father God's eyes, to focus rather than on our priorities, but on God's priorities. And in our final song, we're going to be singing just about that, about God's kingdom and what it means, a time when things will be put right, a time when all of creation will know renewal and restoration. This is what the prophet Joel has to say. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pasture in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. The whole passage is about an abundant harvest. It's about the whole of nature and creation fulfilling its original potential, where every aspect of God's world is restored. That is God's priority. That's what it means to seek God's kingdom. God is working towards the whole of his creation being restored, for the selfishness of sin and the damage that it causes to be removed, and for every part and every person to be valued and cared for. And right now, we have choices to make about how we live out God's priorities. Will we choose to treat God's world selfishly? Will we be concerned for our own wants and our own convenience? Or will we choose to partner God, working for truth and justice?